ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम केंटो 7 चैप्टर 9। प्रहलाद पैसिफाइज द लॉर्ड विद प्रेयर्स। टेक्स्ट 20। यस्मिन् यतो यरहि येन च यस्य यस्मात् यस्मै यथा यद् उत यस्त्व अपरः परो वा भावा करोति विकरोति पृथक् स्वभावा संचोदितस्तद् अखिलं भवतः स्वरूपम् Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear Lord, everyone in this material world is under the modes of material nature, being influenced by goodness, passion and ignorance. Everyone from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the small ant, works under different influences of these modes. Therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy. The cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life they have considered final, and the process for obtaining this goal, All are nothing but manifestations of your energy. Indeed, since the energy and the energetic are identical, all of them are but manifestations of you. Purport. Whether one thinks himself protected by his parents, by the government, by some place or by some other cause, everything is due to the various potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything that is done, whether in the higher, middle or lower planetary systems, is due to the supervision or control of the Supreme Lord. It is therefore said, Karmana deva netrena jantur deho patpatyate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, within the core of everyone's heart, gives inspiration for action according to one's mentality. All of these mentalities are merely facilities given by Krishna to the person acting. Bhagavad Gita therefore says, Matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Everyone works according to the inspiration given by the Super Soul. Because everyone has a different goal of life, everyone acts differently as guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words yasmin yato yarahi yena cha yasya yasmat indicate that all the activities, whatever they may be, are but different features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of them are created by the living entity and fulfilled by the mercy of the Lord. Although all such activities are non-different from the Lord nonetheless directs Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. When we accept this direction from the Lord, we can actually become happy. As long as we work according to our material senses, we are in material life. But as soon as we act according to the real transcendental direction of the Lord, our position is spiritual. The activities of the bhakti, devotional service, are directly under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Narad Pancharatra states, Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam Nishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. When one gives up materially designated positions and works directly under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's spiritual life is revived. This is described as swarupena avasthita, being situated in one's original constitutional position. This is the real description of mukti, or liberation from material bondage. Hare Krishna. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayat. Hare Krishna. So first of all, I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees so that I can speak something on this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Somehow His Grace Prabhuji was, Tattvavit Prabhu was supposed to come, but somehow He could not manage to come here. So we'll be having His session probably whenever He comes in the next week. So we are reading this, so seeking the blessings, we'll start this. We are reading this beautiful section from the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein we are reading the chapter of Prahlad pacifies the Lord with the prayers. So we have seen how after Narsingadev, the most beautiful form of the Lord, beautiful because of the reason why the Lord appeared, to protect His devotee who was in the greatest of the dangers. Therefore, for the devotees, the form of Narsingadev is the most beautiful, auspicious, loving form. So when He appeared from the pillar and terrorizing the whole universe, even all the demigods, the Indra, all the demigods were all even afraid, even Brahmaji, Lord Shiva, as we read in the previous chapter, how after the Lord killed Narsingadev, how much angry He was. And then all these demigods offer various prayers, the rishis, the munis, the nagas, all the different devotees, they offered their prayers to pacify the Supreme Lord, seeing the Lord's anger. But then the Lord was still not pacified. So then, requested by Sri Brahmaji and other demigods, Prahlad Maharaj begins to offer His most wonderful prayers, which we are reading now. So in these prayers, Prahlad Maharaj, out of His intense love and affection and His great humility, He is offering this most wonderful prayers, wherein also, as we were discussing the past few days, how these prayers of Sri Prahlad Maharaj are glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Narsingadev, at the same time also is revealing the truths, the blunt truth of material world. As His Grace Dwarkadish Prabhu was the other day explaining in his class, how Bhagavatam, everything is, like generally we say in this material, things are grey areas, something, there are confusions, some doubts are there, whether to do this or to do that. But Bhagavatam gives a clear-cut definition or clear-cut understanding what to do, what not to do. And in these verses also, Prahlad Maharaj is very beautifully explaining the fundamental principles of creation in these few verses which we are currently reading, the past few verses in this verse and also the next few verses, the fundamental principles of creation, that how this creation takes place and how and by doing what alone can a devotee or a person be satisfied and happy. So as we were hearing the other day, he was explaining that every one of us is looking for happiness. And this material world, as Prahlad Maharaj, as all the acharyas, as Krishna Himself says, is dukh alay ashashvatam. That is the nature of this material world. The spiritual world is Satchidanand, as Dwarkadish was again explaining. I remember because that's what the recent class I heard. He was telling that how everything in the spiritual world is Sat, Chit and Anand, full of eternity, knowledge and bliss. Everything, each and every blade of grass, every living entity, this actually he was explaining that there are no things in the material world. Things in the sense there is no dead matter. Everything is spiritual in the spiritual world. That is the nature of Chinmay, Sat, Chit and Anand. And material world, as we all know from the Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, Krishna explains, this is the reflection, inverted reflection. So the same qualities get inverted. Sat, so Asat, Chit, Achit, and Anand becomes Niranand. So that is the nature of this material world. It is full of misery, lack of knowledge and material. So therefore, any pleasure of this world is temporary and cannot give real happiness. See, herein in this purport also, Prabhupada is explaining the first few lines. Whether one thinks himself protected by his parents, government, by some place or by some other cause, everything is due to the various potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as we were reading in the previous verses also, that real protection comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The real ashray, the shelter which is there, is in Krishna, in spiritual things or in spiritual realm. Herein, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how whether one thinks he's protected by parents, government, family, society, one's funds, one bank balance, all that actually Prabhupada is explaining is also one sense coming from Krishna, the solar Krishna's energy. But when a devotee becomes Krishna conscious, then the real service to the Supreme begins in the Supreme for his personality. And also in the translation, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy. And we have so many examples in Srimad Bhagavatam wherein describes that everyone from, as Prahlad Maharaj himself says, from Brahma down to the ant, everyone is acting under the influence of the material modes. And we have so many examples in Srimad Bhagavatam in various literatures, Puranas, giving the stories of Indra, other demigods. They're all very, very exalted devotees, but still, sometimes to teach us a lesson, they are themselves put into an illusion. And yesterday also we were discussing about the Bharat Maharaj on the Bhava stage, but still he came under the sway of the material nature. Of course, the acharyas also give the understanding that these pastimes are done sometimes to instruct the conditioned soul. So therefore, we see in Bhagavatam gives a wide range, or the examples which the Bhagavatam gives are the topmost examples, like of Brahmaji, of Indradev. They are the greatest of the devotees. So to bring forth or to emphasize this point, that even these devotees who are on such an exalted platform can come under illusion. Who are we? How much careful? So therefore, that is the cry of the scriptures. That is the whole sum and substance of every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us to come and surrender unto me. As Prabhupada is also quoting here, Sarva Dharman Parityajya. That is the cry of the Supreme Lord. That is the cry of every text or every word of the Srimad Bhagavatam to bring us back home, back to Godhead. So today there are various points in the purport. So we'll be discussing one of the pastimes from the Krishna book of Brahma Vimohan Leela, how Brahmaji himself comes under the illusion. Of course, when we read all these various pastimes of Indra getting influenced or Brahmaji getting influenced by Maya, we have to be very, very careful, and we have to understand that these personalities are not ordinary personalities. Indradev, Brahmaji, they are the very, very exalted devotees of the Supreme Lord, and they are acting on his behalf. So they are the trusted people. So therefore, Krishna sometimes uses them, as we will be seeing in this Brahma Viman Lila also. Shukadeva Goswami clarifies that sometimes it is that the Supreme Lord uses them to teach us or give us some important lessons in life. And then we will read this pastime, and then there are certain lines from the purport which conveys this same message. So I'll just simultaneously read these lines from the purport as we go along the pastime. Beautiful Leela of this. So this comes in the 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Brahma Vimohan Leela. It's one of the very beautiful pastime. And of course, some of the most famous verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, very well quoted, are the prayers of Sri Brahmaji, Gyane Prayase, and that, what is the famous verse? Tattenu Kampa Susumikshamana. So all these words are coming from direct realizations of Brahmaji coming under the influence. So that is the conclusion of these this wonderful pastime is Brahmaji's divine surrender. So we will go through this pastime and simultaneously see some of the lines which Prabhupada is emphasizing and connect with this. And then we'll come to the conclusion with Brahmaji's prayers. So this beautiful narration or pastime comes wherein our Aghasur, he was the brother of Bakasur and Putana. He swallowed Krishna and all the cowherd boys, and Krishna by his glance revives all of them. And of course, it is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Aghasur was a very, very powerful demon sent by Kamsa, that even the demigods were afraid of him. Shukadeva Goswami explains, Pit Amreter Api Amarah Pratikshyate. That Pit Amreter, that those who drink nectar, that is the demigods, Api Amarah Pratikshyate. That they were also Pratiksha, and they were also waiting for Aghasur's death. So that was the level of the demon, Aghasur's prowess. That he wanted, that even the demigods were afraid of him, and they wanted him to be killed by Krishna. And as we all know how beautifully Krishna just expands himself and kills Aghasur and revives all his cowherd friends. Then all the demigods, they begin to shower their beautiful flowers, and the apsaras begin to dance, and all those, the, all the gandharvas, the kinaras, everyone is glorifying the Supreme Lord. And when Brahmaji comes to see this, that what is happening in the sky, in the, so when he sees all these demigods, he also comes and sees this Aghasur's episode, and he is also like impressed and sees the opulence of the Supreme Lord Krishna. He understands that he is my master Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And then this chapter begins of the Brahma Vimohan Leela, Shukadeva Goswami. And of course, Shukadeva Goswami in the previous verse describes that this pastime took when Krishna was Kumar, right? 5-year-old. And then Shukadeva Goswami, in just continuing this narration of Srimad Bhagavatam, says that the cowherd boys, they would, as soon as Krishna would call some demons through some leela, all that was the love of the Brajabasis. They would always be absorbed in hearing about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, remembering his leelas and pastimes. So when they would go back, they would tell the cowherd, their mothers, all the other people, that Krishna did this, Krishna did this today. So whole day they would be absorbed. The daytime, they would be with Krishna. Evening, they would be speaking about Krishna, describing about Krishna. Night, they would be waiting when Krishna would call us. That is the Vrajavasi's love, 24 hours with Krishna. So then they would tell about this. And then Shukadeva Goswami casually remarks that this incident of Aghasur killing was told when the cowherd boys were of 6 years old. So that time, our Parikshit Maharaj, very, very attentive hearer, the classic example of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he points out to Shukadeva Goswami, "Dear Prabhu, how is it possible that this incident happened just when Krishna was 5, and it is being explained at the end of 5 years, the sixth year, beginning of the sixth year? How is that possible?" So then, in this beautiful chapter, Shukadeva Goswami, appreciating Parikshit Maharaj's attentiveness, instead, when the 10th canto is going on, almost it's 3.5 days, or maybe 4 days, without eating, sleeping, even for a moment, Shukadeva Goswami is still attentively hearing. And then Shukadeva Goswami is very happy and he pleased. That is the nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very dynamic thing. The speaker is enlivened to see the audience, and Krishna inspires by the sincerity of the audience, the devotees who want to hear. So then Shukadeva Goswami says, "Sadhu Prishtam Mahabhaga Tvaya Bhagavat Uttama Yannutanasya Ishasya Shravan Api Kathan Muhu." That Sadhu Prishtam, Shukadeva Goswami saying that I have been honored by your questions. Thank you very much for asking these questions. And he is saying, you are Mahabhaga, Bhagavat Uttama. This is Shukadeva Goswami's glorification of Parikshit Maharaj. He is glorifying that you are Mahabhaga, you are Bhagavat Uttama. That is very, very special. That this is very surprising. The king who is about to die in just few days, Shukadeva Goswami is telling, you are very greatly fortunate. Generally in this material world, if you are about to die very old, or you are about to leave, then you are not Mahabhaga. You're not considered as very fortunate. But Shukadeva Goswami herein is describing Maharaj Parikshit as Mahabhagava. And also he says, Bhagavat Uttama. And because he explains the reason, because for although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, we are perceiving his activities newer and newer. So that is what makes a devotee Mahabhaga or greatly fortunate is, or a Bhagavat Uttam is his desire to hear, his love to hear Krishna Katha. And Prabhupada in the purport also explains that unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, one cannot stick to the hearing the pastimes of the Lord constantly. So that is Mahabhaga and Bhagavat Uttama. And of course, there are further verses also. Shukadev Goswami being very pleased, he glorifies in further verses wherein he says that Sarabhritam, that you are the one who knows the essence of life. And then he gives various analogies and glorifies Shukadev Goswami, glorifies Parikshit Maharaj in this beautiful verse. So then Shukadev Goswami begins the narration that now I will explain you, the reveal to you the secret, because he explains that Snigdhasya Shishasya in one of the verses, that you are the submissive disciple. So that is the qualification Srila Prabhupada in the purport explains, that this is the qualification. Because he was a submissive disciple, therefore Shukadev Goswami says that I am going to reveal Api Guhyam Vadami Te, that I am going to reveal this Guhya words to you, the Guhya Leela of the Supreme Lord now. And then with this he begins the narration that as Krishna killed Aghasur, and then all the cowherd friends and all, they were having nice fun time and they were begin to take lunch. Of course, the acharyas give various reasons why various demons come in Vrindavan. Many times we wonder that Vrindavan, demons, how is that possible? So in one of the purports in the previous chapter, quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad explains that the reasons in Vrindavan, that variety is the mother of enjoyment. So when Krishna is performing his pastimes, he's playing some games and they are completely absorbed. And then Krishna wants through his Leela Shakti, through his Yogamaya Shakti, that now all of us should take lunch on the banks of Jamuna. But they are completely absorbed in one particular sport, enjoying with Krishna. So then the demon come in Vrindavan, Krishna kills the demon, and then they take lunch or play some other game. So that is the reason why these demons appear in Vrindavan. And then, of course, another significance of this chapter which we are reading, which is also very significant for all of us, is that this was the chapter which Srila Prabhupada was writing the purports when he was in his last days to leave for the spiritual world. So these purports are very, very also touching. In the end, we will read some of the purports, Srila Prabhupada's words, how personal purports in this purports Srila Prabhupada writes. And then Shukadeva Goswami begins to describe the scene of Vrindavan. All the cowherd boys, they are sitting with Krishna on the bank of Jamuna, with Krishna in the center, and all the cowherd friends are sitting. And all the different, the Shukadeva Goswami described the beautiful atmosphere, how the blooming lotuses are attracting the bees and the birds, and the humming and the chirping of the bees and birds is echoing throughout the beautiful forest area. So in this way, the whole very sportive atmosphere was being created. And in this beautiful purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, I'll just read some of the lines because it's a very touching section, Srila Prabhupada's purports. The same sounds, this is Prabhupada's purport to that verse of description of Vrindavan, that the same sounds and atmosphere, also full of peacocks, still prevail in the area where our Krishna Balaram Mandir is situated. Everyone who visits this temple is pleased to hear the chirping of the birds as described here. That is Srila Prabhupada's comment on this purport. And then they all decide to have prasad together. And that time, also another interesting thing, Shukadeva Goswami in this, also another beautiful verse, explained that all the devotees were surrounding Krishna And Krishna, well, the Acharyas also explain that Krishna is such a supreme, unlimited God that he can reciprocate with each and every individual soul. There are unlimited number of souls, and Krishna has a personal loving relationship with each and every one of us. And Krishna in the center with all the cowherd friends sitting there, and Krishna is looking at each and every one of them. It's very, not for a conditioned living entity with a conditioned sense, it's difficult to understand how the devotees who are sitting on their behind can see Krishna. But all of them are thinking that Krishna is seeing me, and Krishna is reciprocating with me, and they all open. And in that translation, Prabhupada explains that the boys were looking all very enlivened, and they were very happy. They're full adrisha, their faces were looking very bright. And Prabhupada in the purport comments that because Krishna was in the center, therefore all their faces were looking bright. And then Prabhupada in the purport explains that the present Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to keep Krishna in the center. For if this is done, all activities will automatically become beautiful and blissful. That is Srila Prabhupada's purport very beautifully. He explains, as we were reading here in this verse, where Prabhupada here also is explaining that if the Shri Krishna is saying sarva dharman parichaya, that is the only solution if you want to be happy in this world. This, as we were hearing yesterday and day before yesterday also, that happiness comes from Krishna. As Dwarkadish Prabhu was explaining that success and happiness are not identical. One may be very successful in any field. One may be the best of the scholars, the best of the well, the best of the knowledge, or the best of the strengths. But that does not imply that he is happy. Because his success and happiness are two different aspects. Happiness comes from keeping Krishna in center. So that is what this pastime is signifying here. And then all of the cowherd friends, they were with Krishna. They opened their lunch bags. And what were their plates? Shukadeva Goswami explains that some of them put their prasad or whatever they have got on the flowers. Somebody picked some leaves and put his prasad on that. Somebody kept it on the stones. And in this way, they were all like, and some of them in the baskets which they had got different prasadam, they were keeping these plates and they were enjoying. And everyone would come to Krishna. They would taste something and then give to Krishna. And take Krishna, this is my mother has sent for you. And then everyone would love whichever item they would get and they give it to Krishna. And Krishna would lovingly accept this. And they were, and in this way Krishna would also sometimes joke and make fun, and they were having nice fun. At the same time, when everything is going on, this is just after the Agasur's episode, Brahmaji and all the demigods, they are seeing this happening. Brahmaji, for whom Krishna, Govinda Madhi Purusham, his supreme lord, he is acting like this. And various other leelas, which, like one time when Madhu Mangal was there, he had some buttermilk, he wanted to honor that alone, so he went to the bushes in the side, and then he drinks, and Krishna sees that he also wanted to honor. So Krishna also goes there. And then Madhu Mangal has buttermilk in his mouth like this. And Krishna punches, and that buttermilk spills on Krishna's face. So Brahmaji is seeing all this. He's getting that, how can this be the Supreme Lord? He is playing like an ordinary cowherd boy. And in one of the verses, Shukadeva Goswami very beautifully explains one of the words, names of Krishna, which Shukadeva Goswami is referring, is Yajna Bhuk, one who eats this from the sacrificial altar. So that Supreme Lord who accepts from the sacrificial altar, that Krishna is accepting the food, the jutta of simple cowherd boys. This was very difficult for Brahmaji. And he is a little getting bewildered seeing all these. Another thing, Bhagavatam explains that Krishna was eating, he had his rice and curd and some suitable fruits, Bhagavatam describes, which Mother Yashoda had sent. Krishna was holding it in his left hand. So according to the Vedic conception, that is also generally we honor prasad, and the Vedic times would generally with the right hand. And Krishna with his left hand eating the remnants of the simple cowherd friends. This is all for Brahmaji was getting, he was getting bewildered. He was trying to understand through his four heads, as Prabhupada in one of the purports explained, four heads. Prabhupada explained that Brahmaji was, of course, that comes later when Krishna, Brahmaji offer obeisances at the end. Then Srila Prabhupada explains, we'll come back to that later. And then all the Krishna was, since 5 years old, Krishna was given the charge of the cows. And cows were taken care of by the elderly gopas. Later on, of course, when Krishna was, after this pastime, Krishna was taken the charge of, given the charge of taking care of cows. So then all the calves who were there, they were grazing nearby. And then Shukadeva Goswami explained that Trina Lobita, because of being attracted by this fresh green grass, they went away from Krishna. So that is the condition of the all of the conditioned souls in this world, being attracted by some green grass which we think is on the other side. We move aside from Krishna and go deep into the forest away from Krishna, giving pain to the devotees and Krishna. And then in the beautiful words, Shukadev Goswami explained, Tandrishtva bhaya santrishtan uchoy krishnasya bhi bhayam mitrani asan maviramte hanase vatskan aham. Shukadev Goswami explains, Tandrishtva bhaya santrishtan, that Krishna, he's explaining that when Krishna saw that Tan Drishtva Bhaya Santrishtan, that his cowherd friends were now fearful, that wherever calves have gone, so Krishna spoke, Uche, Krishna spoke. Krishna, who is Krishna? Bhi Bhayam. Prabhupada translated that, Krishna, who is himself the fearful element of all kinds of fear. So with Krishna, the cowherd friends are there, who is the control of the fear personified. They are fearing. And then Krishna personally says that, Hanayase vatsakan aham, that I will personally go. You do not stop your enjoyment. You just keep honoring your prasadam. I will personally go and take care of the calves. That is Krishna. He always wants his devotees to enjoy. He always wants all the living entities to enjoy with him. That is the condition. We want to enjoy separate from Krishna. So therefore, we come here to this material world, try to enjoy, and in our futile attempts, we suffer. But here Krishna is saying, I will personally go and take care of the calves. You enjoy. That is Krishna's heart. He wants to see all of us enjoying in Vrindavan. That's what Krishna is. So then Krishna goes. And of course, Krishna, who is the knower of everything in this material world and the spiritual world, he knew what is going on in the mind of all the four heads of Brahmaji, how he is getting bewildered. So he wanted to enact another beautiful leela to give pleasure to all the devotees and to Brahmaji. Bhagavatam explains that Krishna wanted to give pleasure to Brahmaji also. So then Krishna said, I will personally go. Prabhupada, of course, in the purport explains that that all the different energies are working under Krishna through his different energies. Still, when there is a need to take care of his friends, he does it personally. That is Krishna. Krishna personally takes care of his devotees, as Krishna also explained in Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Yogesh Shema Vahami Aham. Aham. I personally take care of my devotees. So Krishna assured his friends, don't be afraid. I'm going to go personally and search for your calves. Prabhupada comments, this was Krishna's causeless mercy. That is the heart of Krishna. He wants to serve his devotees. That is the divine competition. Krishna wants to serve his devotee, make his devotees happy. Devotees want to serve Krishna and make him happy. That is Krishna. And then Shukadev Goswami in the next verse explains that he was seeing all this thing and he was astonished. And then Brahma wanted to show some of his own power and see the power of Krishna. That is how Shukadeva Goswami gives forth the reason why Brahmaji performed this leela or pastime, to show his own power and see the power of Krishna. So both the factors were there. And then Of course, another interesting thing which Srila Prabhupada mentioned, and then of course when Krishna went to take care of, look for the calves, Brahmaji took away all the cowherd boys, and then later on all the calves also. So Krishna was searching everywhere. And of course Prabhupada in the purport explains, Brahma wanted to take away Krishna's associates, but instead he took away some other boys and calves. So Prabhupada is quoting, Prabhupada says that Ravana wanted to take away Sita, but that was impossible. And instead he took away a Maya Sita. Similarly, Brahma took away, as Shukadeva Goswami points out, Maya Arabhaka, boys manifested by Krishna's Maya. Yeah. Brahma could show some extraordinary opulence to Maya Arabhakaha, but he could not show any extraordinary potency to Krishna's associates. So no one can touch the devotees of the Supreme Lord who are protected by the Lord personally. Aham, Krishna's personal promise, Name Bhaktiya Pranashita, that I personally take care of the devotees. Thus, he could not, then said, yeah, Prabhupada comments, but he could not show any extraordinary potency to Krishna's associates. And that he would see in the very near future, Prabhupada is explaining. So then Krishna understood the whole performance, but still Shukadeva Goswami explains that as an actor, he does not reveal what he knows. He knows all the dialogues, all the background, everything, what role he's acting, what his original position is. So Krishna also, that is Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, he will not reveal the Aishwarya Gyan through his Yogamaya Shakti. So he could not, Brahmaji could not understand Krishna's Maya. Then this was all a dramatic performance. And then, of course, Shukadeva Goswami very beautifully describes that Krishna was Vishwavitta. He knows everything in every corner of the material and the spiritual world that is going on. So Krishna knew what is going on in Brahmaji's mind. And then Shukadeva Goswami explained, Tataha Krishna mudam kartum tanmatram cha kasya cha ubhayayitam atmanam chakre vishvakrid ishvara. Tataha Krishna mudam kartum. That Krishna performed thereafter just to create pleasure. And Prabhupada translates mudam kartum as pleasure for both Brahma and for the mothers of the calves and the cowherd boys. Tan matranam cha kasya cha. That Krishna wanted to give pleasure to Brahmaji, to all the mothers of the calves and the cowherd boys. That is the reason. That is the reason for all of Krishna's Leelas, to give pleasure. Krishna is Ananda Chinmayara. So whatever Leelas or pastimes he does is for the pleasure of his devotees, to teach the devotees a lesson, to for his the internal associates' pleasure, so that they can enjoy with Krishna. And of course, I think in the future purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that all the Brajabasis, the elder cowherdly ladies, they loved Krishna so much. Of course, later in the section when Balaramji's come to know about this episode, of course, that Agasur episode took place on, Prabhupada explains, in the Balaramji's appearance day. So Balaramji's birthday. So he didn't come because he wanted to give charity. Irani Devi kept him home. So he was not there when this pastime was taking place. So he also was not aware of this thing happening. And all the Brajabasi, the cowherd ladies, they would love Krishna more than their own sons. And this was something that gives the hint to Balaramji. Later on we will see that when about an year was about to pass, Balaramji saw that now the cowherd ladies of Vrindavan, they are loving their sons equal to Krishna. But previously they were loving Krishna more. How is it that? Because Krishna was their life and soul of all the Brajabasis. All the Brajabasis, even the cowherd ladies, they would love Krishna more than their own sons. And they had a deep desire that Krishna, if Krishna would have been our son, we would have also bathed him, dressed him nicely, massaged him, and breastfed him milk. So Krishna He understands the desire of the devotees. So he reciprocates to their desire by performing this leela. And of course, all the cows of Vrindavan, they also had deep affection and love for Krishna. They wanted to feed Krishna their breast milk. So Krishna, in this episode or in this beautiful leela, he does both, satisfies the cowherd ladies, at the same time also satisfies the cows. That is Prabhupada explaining in Tataha Krishna Mudam Kartun. So Krishna is the transcendental enjoyer. He enjoys in all circumstances. Brahmaji even though tried to create some disturbance in Vrindavan, but Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, as Prabhupada explains, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. So same thing we happened with Indra also. He also later on, he tried to disturb the atmosphere of Vrindavan, but not even a blade of grass moved or was disturbed by Indra's rains. So then Krishna, through his Vasudev feature, simultaneously expands into the exact number of missing cowherd boys and calves. And Shukadeva Goswami explains, with their exact bodily features, Krishna expands, with their particular types of hands, legs, other limbs, their sticks, bugles, everything Krishna personally expands. Their sticks, their bugles, their flutes, their lunch bags, their particular types of dress, ornaments, everything exactly the same. Even their habits, ages, natures, special activities, each cowherd boy, everyone is an individual, have its own characteristic, individuality, individual nature, individual habits. But Krishna potency, that is Krishna's potency. Prabhupada quotes from Brahma Samhita, quoting Brahmaji, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Nava Yovanam Cha. So that is Krishna's transcendental potency, that he expanded exactly even as per their nature's habits. Everything was completely expanded by Krishna. So that is, and he also as the calves also. And then Krishna, along with all the cows, calves and cowherd friends, comes and enters back to his house in Nanda Bhavan. And then all the cowherd ladies, the mothers of the calves, the cows, when they saw their calves, so this time they were super excellently excited and extremely jubilant to see their calves, that they just completely, as soon as the calves came, they began to allow them to suck their milk and lick their bodies. And Shukadeva Goswami, in one of the future verses, explains the word that they were gilantya, that they were licking so much that it appeared as if wanting to swallow them. That was their love. When a child or a calf is born, we see how much, anyone who has seen, must have seen, we were in the farm recently, we saw how a cow gave birth to a calf there, Vidya, the name of the calf. And then how that cow was licking and always wanting to have him. Those who are in the farm or those who have seen the cows have this experience. So when these calves returned, they were licked as if the cows are being about to swallow them. That was intense emotions. And all the cowherd ladies also. So when they came, their sons, who were actually Krishna, they came back home. So they immediately rose from their household talks, household duties. They lifted their son, put them on their laps, and nicely cleaned him, took him bath. So all their desires which they had in their mind, Krishna is satisfying each one of them. And Krishna was drinking the milk from their breasts. And Shukadeva Goswami explains that Sudha Asavan, that milk, because of their intense love and devotion, was tasting just like a nectarian beverage. And Krishna was reciprocating with their immense love in that form of cowherd ladies. In this way, this went on. And so in this way, Krishna did like this for about an year. That is Krishna's love. He satisfied the desires completely of all the cowherd ladies and the cows. And then one day, Shukadeva Goswami explains, something roughly around 5 or 6 days before the completion of 1 year, Krishna was tending the cows, and along with the same, Balramji was also there. Usually Balramji would accompany, but sometimes he would stay back if there is some service, and on his birthday as he stayed back. So he didn't knew all this incident and what is happening. So, and then what happens? Then all the cows, they would go deep into the forest, and the calves, they would be near the nearby the village and the pasturing grounds, and the cows were on the tended by the elderly cowherd men. They were on the hill. So when they saw their calves, they stopped their grazing and came rushing to meet their calves and feed them milk. But that time all the elderly cowherd men who were there, they were getting bewildered that why is this happening? They were getting frustrated that we have come here to take care of the cows and cows are running and now the calves will drink all their milk. So what will happen? And of course, when they also come running and they see their small children, they saw their own cowherd friends, Krishna, all Krishnas there personally present in the form of their cowherd sons. So when they saw their friends, they forgot everything, their anxiety, and they lifted their own sons and embraced them and smelled their head, and they forgot about the cows and the calves, and the calves were drinking the milk. And of course, Shukadeva Goswami explains that some of the calves were actually grown up. They had stopped drinking the cow's milk, but still the Krishna in the form of that calves were drinking that milk, and the cows were lovingly feeding that milk. So in this way, they were also that transcendental reciprocation. And Shukadeva Goswami also explained that some of the cows had newborn child in that period, but still they were loving their elder sons, elder calves who had stopped drinking milk, but they were feeding them rather than to their newly born calves. That is Krishna, Krishna's love. That is the nature of the spirit soul. That is the love of Vrindavan, and of course that is the nature, the true original nature of each and every individual soul. Because we are all emanating from Krishna, therefore that love for Krishna is very, very natural. That spontaneous attraction is something very, very natural for each one of us. But unfortunately, so many conditionings, so many anarthas have occurred, and we have lost our natural love for Krishna. So that is the whole process of Krishna consciousness, that we have to again restart loving Krishna by chanting his names, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and the process given by Srila Prabhupada. So Balramji, we are seeing all this, he was getting bewildered. Then he approached Krishna. And then Balramji is saying, then when he sees this scene, he says, Kayamva, that what is this mystic power? He is thinking, Balramji, is this some Rakshasi Maya? Balramji is thinking. Prabhupada is paraphrasing that. And then he thought, but now it cannot be Rakshasi Maya, cannot have any influence over me. So definitely this is not some Rakshasi Maya. Then he concluded that this mystical change must have been caused by none other than my brother Krishna. It may be arranged by Krishna, and even I could not check his mystic power. Thus, Sri Balaramji understood that all these boys and calves were expansions of Krishna. And Balaramji thinks that probably all these cowherd boys and all, they were demigods. But then he said, no, 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 that cannot be. They are personally Supreme Lord Krishna. And then Krishna explains him that this has all happened and they are the cowherd friends, they are all me. So in this way. And here Brahmaji, same time, he is there in his abode, hidden all the calves and cowherd friends. Of course, he is also fearful. he knows, he's, Prabhupada explained, that he knows that he's playing with fire. He's trying to bewilder Krishna. So it's not possible. And then he immediately comes back. After a moment, he's back to see what is happening. And when he sees this, then he is completely bewildered and confused. That same cows, everything, calves and cowherd boys, all are there and they're having nice fun. So Brahmaji again goes up, sees behind, it's the calves which he has stolen are there, and all these calves are here also. So Brahmaji is confused, and Shukadeva Goswami explains that he was thinking for a long time, trying to distinguish between the two sets of boys who were all separately existing. He tried to understand which was the real boys and which were not real, but he could not understand at all. And then Shukadeva Goswami, of course, we know that the different planets, Prabhupada explained the purport that different planets, the calculation of time is different. So Brahma's one moment was almost an year on this earth. So then Shukadeva Goswami in a beautiful verse explains this predicament of Brahmaji. Evam sammohayanam Vishnu vimoham vishvamohanam svaya eva maya jopi svayam eva vimohita. That evam, in this way, sammohitam sammohayam Vishnu, that Brahmaji's desire was to mystify Vishnu. Sammohayam Vishnu, evam sammohayam Vishnu, that Brahmaji's desire was to put Krishna in moh. But Krishna's another name is Vimoham. That means, Vimoham means, Prabhupada translates, who can never be mystified. So Brahmaji is trying to put someone in moh who is Vimoham. That is not possible. And what is the result? When one wants to challenge Krishna, his authority, his power, his rules, what is the result? What happens? Swaya eva mayaya aja, that swayam eva vimohita, that he himself got bewildered. That was the result. He wanted to bewilder Krishna, who is vimoham. He himself get bewildered. That is Krishna, that is vimoham, the name of Krishna. And then, of course, Prabhupada, in the purport, beautifully explained that we should give up all our tiny arrangements to defy the tiny arrangements of Krishna. Instead, whatever arrangement he proposes, we should accept. That is always better, for that will make us happy. That is Prabhupada's clear remarks. The more we try to defeat the arrangement of Krishna, the more we become implicated in Krishna's maya. So in this way, so of course, Shukadeva Goswami beautiful gives analogy. Just like a glowworm in a daytime and snow at night have no value, similarly, Brahma's mystic power became worthless in the presence of Krishna. Like that. Therefore, Prabhupada, in this purport, comments that therefore one should not try to exhibit one's insignificant opulence before a greater power. One should simply fold his hand and surrender. As we will see how Brahmaji responds. So that is Brahmaji's in Acharya, the founder of our Acharya. So he is teaching through his behavior how one should respond, even though he committed a mistake or Krishna's desire was there. But how he responded to this, that is very significant, and that is a great lesson for all of us to learn. So in this way, Brahmaji is completely bewildered and he folds his hand and he is praying to Krishna for help. And then Krishna reveals to him. So that is the process that of seeing Krishna in the real sense, is surrendering to Krishna, offering prayers, glorifying Krishna. Then Krishna, when he is pleased, he reveals. So then, after this, Brahmaji could see that all the calves, all the cowherd boys, they were sitting, all were four-handed Vishnu murtis, forms, with the Srivasts, Kaustubh, gem, everything was there. Of course, Prabhupada, in the purport, explains that there was Srivats and Kaustubh gem signifies that they were all Vishnu forms, because in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha planets, every living entity, the Sarupya Mukti they get, they also have the same form as four-handed form. But they were not those living entities. They were Krishna personally, the signs of Vishnu, the Srivats mark and Kaustubh gem were there on their bodies. And he saw that all these different Vishnu forms were being worshipped. Every part of their bodies, from the top to the heads, was fully decorated with fresh, tender garlands of tulsi leaves and offered by devotees engaged in worshipping the Lord by greatest pious activities, namely hearing and chanting. This was the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, that they were decorated with tulsi garlands by pious devotees who are worshipping the Lord by the greatest pious activity of hearing and chanting. And this way Prabhupada, this purport explains that how the devotees of the Supreme Lord, as explained in this verse, Bhuri Punyad Arpitaha. Prabhupada explains this very significant. They were worshipped by those devotees who had performed many pious activities from many births, who are constantly engaged in devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. And then, in the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, in our Krishna Balram Mandir, in Krishna Balram temple in Vrindavan, there is a tamal tree that covers an entire corner of the courtyard. Before there was a temple, the tree was lying neglected. But now it has developed very luxuriantly, covering the whole corner of the courtyard. That is the sign of Bhuri Punya. That is Prabhupada's comment on Bhuri Punya. Very beautiful purports in this section. So then, so all these Vishnu forms were smiling. Those Vishnu forms by the pure smiling, I'm just reading the translation, which resemble the increasing light of the moon, and by the sidelong glances of their reddish eyes, created and protected the desires of their own devotees, as if by the mode of passion and goodness. And Prabhupada, of course, in the purport clarifies that the word raja in this means not passion but affection, the affectionate glances of the Supreme Lord. Because Prabhupada explained that devotees have no material desires. So how is that these desires, Krishna is protecting the desires of the devotees, implies that, that the Lord's sidling glances created variegated desires in relationship to Krishna and devotional service. So those desires were aroused by Krishna's beautiful glance. That is the Shakti of Krishna's glance on his devotees, that variegated desires in relationship to devotional service are aroused. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, very humbly he presents, in Vrindavan, there is a place where there was no temple, but a devotee desired. Let there be a temple and seva, devotional service. Therefore, was what was once an empty corner has now become a place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of a devotee. And we know who that devotee is. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. We'll continue further. So that is Srila Prabhupada's. So in this way, all these Vishnu Murtis, Brahmaji is seeing, surrounded by the opulence, mystic potences, and he's seeing himself also worshipping them, and all the 24 elements and all those descriptions are given. And then And then what happens? Of course, yeah, and then Brahmaji is there, seeing all this form, beautiful description of the beautiful form of all the Vishnu Murtis, how they are being worshipped, is described in detail by Shukadev Goswami. And then, finally, after he sees all this, then Shukadev Goswami explains, thus looking in all directions, Lord Brahma immediately saw Vrindavan before him. That is Shukadev Goswami's verdict, that now he actually saw Vrindavan. Previously also he was seeing Vrindavan, all the cowherd friends, Krishna playing, the Agasur killing. But no, he was not actually seeing Vrindavan. Now he was actually, when Krishna bestowed his mercy, so then now he could see the real Vrindavan by the grace of the Supreme Lord. And then the one of the famous verses of description of Vrindavan, which comes in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yatra naisarga durvaire sahasanri mag adayo mitran avijatavas drutrut tarakashadikam. The description of Vrindavan comes. This is Vrindavan which Brahmaji saw after his Vimohan Leela, after he repents for what he has done. So that is the price to see Vrindavan, where Shukadev Goswami is describing Yatra Nisarga Durvaire. Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord, where there is no hunger, anger or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live together in transcendental friendship. So that is Vrindavan. And Prabhupada in the purport explains that envy arises in this material world because of sense gratification. And Vrindavan, there is no sense gratification. For the only aim is Krishna's satisfaction. Therefore, there are no enmity in Vrindavan. Prabhupada explains, even in this material world, the animals in Vrindavan are not envious of the sadhus who live there. And then Prabhupada explains, very interesting, the sadhus keep cows and supply milk to the tigers, saying, come here and take a little milk. That is Vrindavan. This is the difference between Vrindavan and the ordinary world. Prabhupada explains that many times we are horrified to hear the name of Vana, but the forest, but in Vrindavan, there is no such horror. Everyone there is happy by pleasing Krishna. That is the constant theme of Srimad Bhagavatam. You want to be happy? Please Krishna. Be in Vrindavan. Even the tigers are also devotee. This is the specific qualification of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everyone is happy. The calf is happy. The cat is happy. The dog is happy. The man is happy. Everyone. Everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity. And thus, there is no envy. And Prabhupada comments that sometimes when we go, we experience monkeys. Prabhupada comments on that. One may sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious because they cause some mischief and steal food and sometimes pecks also. Many of us have experienced. But in Vrindavan, we find that monkeys are allowed to take butter, which Krishna himself distributes. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has the right to live. This is Vrindavan life. Why should I live and you die? That is material life. The inhabitants of Vrindavan think, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat. This mentality, of course Prabhupada comments, cannot appear all of a sudden, but it will gradually develop with Krishna consciousness by sadhana when can come to this platform. That is Srila Prabhupada's hope. We are not on that platform of staying with the tigers and feeding milk to the tigers and, of course, enmity amongst the human beings. But gradually, we're developing Krishna consciousness by sadhana, by, of course, Krishna's mercy. One can come by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. We all can come that to this platform one day. That is, and then Brahmaji saw. The absolute truth, who is one without a second, who possesses full knowledge, who is unlimited. Shukadeva Goswami uses the word Aghada Bodham, possessing unlimited knowledge. And Prabhupada very beautifully purport explains, the word Aghada Bodham means full of unlimited knowledge, is significant in this verse. This is some of the last few verses, I think, Prabhupada's translation, purports actually. The Lord's knowledge is unlimited, and therefore one cannot touch where it ends, just as one cannot measure the ocean. What is the extent of our intelligence in comparison to the vast expanse of water in the ocean? And then Prabhupada remarks, on my passage to America, how insignificant the ship was, like a matchbox in the midst of an ocean. Like a matchbox in the midst of an ocean. What a comparison. That is Krishna's Agada Bodham, vast, unlimited knowledge. That is Shukadeva Goswami's verdict. That's what Brahmaji felt, that I cannot fathom Krishna's intelligence or Krishna's knowledge. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, quoting Adhurlabham Atma Bhakto, that of course, quoting from Brahma Samhita, that when one becomes a devotee, one can realize him. Brahma therefore became a devotee. In the beginning, he was proud of being Brahma. So Brahmaji was proud of being Brahma, therefore the Lord of the universe. But now he understood, here is the Lord of the universe, the real Lord, the real Brahma. But now he understood, and I am simply an insignificant agent. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So that is how Krishna is revealed, when Brahmaji understood that he is the real Brahma, the real creator, the creator of my own self, the creator of this cosmos, the spiritual world, and he understood his insignificance. So when we understand Krishna's greatness, same time our insignificance, and take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna reveals, and then we chant with devotion, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, as we chanted just before the class. So in this way, Brahmaji comes down immediately from his swan carrier, and just like a golden stick, that is the color of Brahmaji, golden in color, falls flat, and with tears of joy, that is, Prabhupada comments that the tears were of joy. The Brahmaji was happy to see Krishna's opulence, beauty, Krishna's wealth, Krishna's the real Aishwarya, that he became greatly happy. He was not envious of Krishna. He was extremely happy. So with waters of tears of joy, Brahmaji bathed Krishna's lotus feet like that. And then, and of course, the Prabhupada purport explains that usually the demigods never touch the ground. Generally the demigods, when they come to this world also, in Kali Yuga they don't come, but whenever they used to come, they would walk on the surface, above the surface. But this time Brahmaji, voluntarily giving up his prestige as a demigod, bowed down to Krishna on the ground. Although Brahma has one head in each direction, he voluntarily brought all his heads to the ground and touched Krishna with the tips of the four helmets. So how he maneuvered all the four heads, he made it and touched Krishna's lotus feet. And in this way, he was offering obeisances, repeated obeisances after obeisances. He's again and again offering obeisances, Brahmaji. And then after a long time, Chirat, the Shukadeva Goswami explains, for a long time he's getting up, offering obeisances, glorifying the Supreme Lord. And then he gets up, and then with his two hands, he wiped the two eyes on each of the four faces. He wiped all the tears, and then Brahma began to offer the prayers with great humility, respect, and attention. That is Shukadeva Goswami's beautiful. He offers prayers with great humility, respect, and attention. So that is the theme, the sum and substance here at the end, is how, even though all of us are conditioned souls, we are bound to make mistakes. We see Krishna's plan, we want to have our desires fulfilled, our plans. We want to test Krishna's Shakti, Maya Shakti, not being convinced that whatever Krishna does is for my ultimate benefit, not fully having complete faith that Krishna is my real well-wisher. He is going to do what is best for me. He knows what is best for me, and he will do the best. We tend to test Krishna and see that and complain to Krishna, why you did not do like this, Krishna? Why you did not purify like this? Krishna wants to purify us, but we have our own purificatory programs. I should be purified like this. I should be purified like this. But then, like Brahmaji, if we just surrender and with humility, and whether we understand Krishna's leela, we don't understand, just offer obeisances, offer pranams, glorify Krishna, quoting different prayers of the acharyas, revealing our heart to Krishna with great humility, respect and attention. And then, as here Krishna revealed Vrindavan, one day by Srila Prabhupada's, by all the devotees' blessings, we will be able to see Vrindavan and come out of this material world. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
So we will end here. Of course, there are very beautiful prayers of Brahmaji. Some of the most famous verses of Srimad Bhagavatam comes from Brahmaji's realizations and prayers, the Gyane Prayasam, and all those beautiful prayers when Brahmaji is saying that, I cannot understand you. People may say that I know you, but I know that I do not know you. Like that, he offers very wonderful prayers. In this way, we conclude this class. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, jai Granthar Srimad Bhagavatam ki, jai.